Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and we appreciate you kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. Streaming 24-7 on the Civic Media website. Go to civicmedia.us or go to WFHR.com. Be sure to stream us, everybody.
I mean, because at 10 o'clock, if you want to listen to us again,
yeah,
you can just listen to this whole morning all over.
All over. Why
lucky,
wouldn't you watch
lucky.
It? You might have missed some things. We encourage you to do that. We also encourage you to stick around because we got that ain't right stories, good stories of the day coming up for you. We will catch up with some local good stories of the day. Got some fun things going on in our area this weekend I want to touch on. We'll get into all of that. We kick things off with entertainment news. And for those who didn't hear, it looks like Luke Bryant and Peyton Manning passed the audition because they are coming back to co-host this year's CMA Awards. It'll be held November 8th at Nashville's Bridgerton Arena and will air live on ABC.
Cool. I think they've hosted before together.
Yes, they did last year.
Yeah, that was last year. Okay.
So it looks like they did a good job.
Yeah.
Of course they did a good job.
You know.
I don't know a whole ton about Luke Bryan, but I know he's pretty good with the mic and does a really good job up there. And Peyton Manning has shown he can do this stuff. If I was a... If I was not just a CMA, if I was a Grand Ole Opry, if I was anybody, I would have Peyton Manning emceeing everything that I can't get Dolly and Garth to do. that's the only other better option. I mean, he's tailor-made for that stuff. He's very good at it. So that should be fun. Again, that'll air be held November 8th, and it'll air live on ABC. I have talked for many years about Carrie Underwood, and I have mentioned many times that I respect her as an artist, a songwriter, a singer, and all that. Yes, she is very pretty.
I was going to say, and you're crushing.
A little bit.
That's
but
right.
doesn't mean that I don't have journalistic integrity on this, and doesn't mean I can't be concerned. Carrie Underwood's living a double life, everybody. And I don't know how many people know this, and I think we need to bring attention to this. Carrie Underwood is resuming her Vegas residency, Reflection, next month, and she's excited to get back. She's been doing this for a while. It's been very successful. That's her main, that's her day job. That's her gig and everything. But she said she'll go to a restaurant if her husband is in town, but otherwise she prefers just hitting up the grocery store when she's around. In an interview with Vegas Magazine, Carrie talked about enjoying both high-profile and low-profile living. Quote, I go to my boys' baseball practice. It's wonderful, it's ordinary, and I love that. In a lot of ways, I lead a double life. I'm a mom at home, and when I fly away to Vegas or to go on tour, I'm a singer.
Like every mom everywhere,
except we don't
fly to work.
Yeah, pretty much, pretty much. I appreciate her kind of sharing this because I don't think that we get enough of that. But at the same time, I hope she seems like a pretty intelligent person. I hope she realizes this is, every mom there is.
But, I get what she's saying, too, though, is that when... maybe if her husband's there, they might go out and do something. But she's not like high profile all the time.
Yeah.
And my understanding is she's actually a pretty good cook. So she probably, yes. You know what I mean? When no one's there with her, she probably is doing some of that. She's not, stereotypically, right? People think she's out just being pampered 24/7. And I appreciate that about her because she's always been pretty real,
It doesn't seem like her feet have left the ground because part of the article she talks about the reason their husband comes up is because she stays alone there and she's pretty much by herself. She has some people on her crew that she talks with and hangs out with, but she spends a lot of time alone and she doesn't necessarily like that. She misses her family and tries to bring them out there when she can.
And if you get to Vegas, see this show.
Yeah,
I didn't see her in Vegas. I saw her actually at the Rush Center in Green Bay. It is amazing.
She's phenomenal. Yeah. She is really so. She can do it all.
Yeah.
One more thing. Carrie recently celebrated 15 years as a member of the Grand Ole Opry. In the same interview, she called Opry membership one of the most important things she has ever done.
And isn't that cool?
It really is.
I love that still has the same value that it had 50 years ago.
Yes.
Like, I love that.
Again, not even my genre, and I think that is just one of the coolest things ever. The Grand Ole Opry itself is so dang cool. They have their own mailboxes. This is awesome. Like, there's nothing else like that. I think very... In a little similar way, the Apollo Theater in New York has a little bit of that history to it, but it doesn't have like this kind of history that the old Grand Ole Opry does.
And
it's very different.
And it's really cool to see in person. If you have the opportunity, take it.
I don't care who the act is, I would see at the Grand Ole Opry.
It's very cool.
If you tell me I can see a show at the Grand Ole Opry, it almost doesn't matter who is singing. I don't care. I just want to go see a show there. As I get older, I notice that more about like wanting to go, because I've been to so many concerts and seen so many bands. There's plenty of people I want to see that I haven't gotten to, but it's even more like, ooh, Red Rocks looks really cool.
Yeah, it does look cool,
doesn't
it? It'd
be cool to see a show there, you know, Madison Square Garden or any of these things. Now it's about the venue as much as it is and that kind of thing. I love Jackie Chan. Jackie Chan's is one of those great actors. What I like about Jackie Chan, certainly he's a great actor. He's a fun actor. He's a great comedic actor and all those things. What I like about Jackie Chan starts way before you see him as an actor, though. This is a guy who is self-made, built himself up, didn't have a big break or anything like that, worked and worked and worked, and in his late mid-40s does this movie Rumble in the Bronx that blows up here in America, and me and my buddy Aiden go to the movie theater three times to go see it. Like, just love the guy. Does all of his own stunts.
He is awesome. And think about that. He's doing all of his own stunts, but he's not 20.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you don't bounce back as fast.
Rumble in the Bronx, he's like 44, 45.
And that was early on. Yeah, you know, he had a lot of movies after that.
Yeah, yeah. He's incredible. And Jackie Chan is in talks to do another Karate Kid movie. He'll be playing Mr. Han, the character he played in the 2010 remake. But here's where things get a little more interesting. This new Karate Kid movie is a return to the original franchise, which means Mr. Han is being folded into the universe of Daniel, Johnny, and Mr. Miyagi and all that. Of course, this now also means the entire Cobra Kai universe is in there, so they're looking to revamp the franchise.
Interesting.
Like a lot of production companies are doing nowadays. We tend to cringe at these things. This one I'm not, only in part because I feel like the Cobra Kai thing showed you, well, there's still a big audience for this.
Sure.
And why not? Like, it's different if nobody's asking for this, and they just bring it back because you could tell that they've run out of ideas. But then there's stuff like this, or the reimagining that I don't mind, the Ghostbusters Afterlife. It didn't do that great review-wise or anything, but I really liked it. I thought it was masterfully done at bringing all the old characters and the old things that we loved about the Ghostbusters, incorporating that, giving an homage to to somebody no longer with us, trying not to ruin anything, while also bringing out new characters and new storylines and bringing in young audiences and stuff. It can be done.
Yeah, I think it sounds cool.
Plus, Jackie Chan is one of those box office like go-tos. Like, he just does good numbers. Yeah. Anything that he is in, you go ahead and look it up. He is just one of those great, like, if I'm a movie producer and I want to make sure my movie's a hit, I look at guys like Tom Cruise, Harrison Ford, Jackie Chan, Samuel Jackson, these kind of guys who always bring good box office numbers. Jackie's one of those guys. That should be cool. Should be interesting to see what happens with that one. Looking at what's new on your small screen and big screen this weekend, we start with the small and already released on Hulu remake of the 1992 sports comedy White Men Can't Jump. This one stars Jack Harlow and Cinqua Walls. I don't know Jack Harlow. I don't have anything against the kid or anything like that. I do feel like they're putting him out there. Like, every other day I see something about Jack Harlow. I feel like he's really a lot pushing him out there a lot. I wish them well with this. I have no interest in it.
No, me either.
And when it comes to remakes, one of the things they miss is you can't go back to that cultural moment in time. Like, there was a moment in time long before cancellation and culture and a lot of this stuff and everything where we were still learning how to tell jokes about culture. And not the old standard, white people brush their teeth this way, black people brush their teeth this way. You know, doing that joke that for like 20 years that we were doing. We were trying to find different ways. How do we tell humor while showing that we're connected? Well, we have so much in common, while also making jokes about these other things and stuff. And the chemistry of Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes is unparalleled comedically. They did like 3-4 movies together. There's just no way this movie can have any of that. I would give it a chance if you like the franchise, if you want to. I'm not trying to begrudge anybody from that. But there's no way certain things, when they miss that with these remakes, that you can't recreate that stuff. They tried with Star Wars. You had George Lucas remaking the Star Wars movies. You would think those three movies would do pretty good. And they did all right. But they were nothing compared to when J.J. Abrams took over. And J.J. Abrams understood this. He understood, well, what people loved were the puppets. They love the characters. They don't want a green screen. They don't want everything that digital. They want to see the puppeteers. They want to see the characters moving and all this. And he got that. And that's part of the reason why I think those franchises did a little bit better. That's the last three, the most recent three. You can't recreate nostalgia. You can try all you want, but you just can't do that.
And I personally, I enjoy more like what you're talking about with Jackie Chan, where it's, I mean, it's incorporating the old story, yeah, but it's versus trying to just remake. Like, I don't necessarily.
I'm with you.
It's not a go-to for me.
100%. I'm with you. A bunch of season finales tonight. CBS at 7, the 6th season finale of SWAT on ABC, the 14th season finale of Shark Tank, Fire Country, Blue Bloods, A Black Lady Sketch Show on HBO, America's Funniest Home Videos, all in their season finales. American Idol has their season finale on Sunday, along with on Sunday, The Equalizer, The Simpsons. Oh, that hurt. That hurt, man.
You need a tissue?
Why'd they got to go away? I mean, why'd they get
like you aren't round, perfectly content round, with reruns?
Nothing. Yeah, there is. I do like to rewatch the. I rewatched the first season all summer. Or yeah, not the first season. The last season, I rewatch it over the summer.
So that when the new one starts, you're ready.
I'm all caught up.
You're fine.
You can't miss anything. You get The Great North and Bob's Burgers also wrapping up. Bob's Burgers in the 13th season. That's interesting. And on Sunday at 9 o'clock on CBS, the series finale of NCIS Los Angeles. So keep that in mind. That's the series finale of that one. New on your big screen this weekend, nothing too much in wide release. You've got Master Gardener rated R with Joel Egerton. That's in limited release. The big one coming out is the Fast X rated PG-13. It's the 10th main installment, 11th overall in the franchise. They're saying this is the last one. I will bet anybody they anything they want, this is not the last Fast and Furious movie. I don't care what it is.
And what did you say? It's the 10th one?
It's the 10th one, the 11th in the franchise, but it's the 10th one as far as like they're calling it.
Huh.
And they keep bringing in actors. They got, you know, all the original people, and Jason Momoa is playing a bad guy in it. Brie Larson, Dwayne Johnson, Gal Gadot, Paul Walker, all in there. Paul Walker's daughter Meadow is in it, and that's a nice touch. I think that's a nice touch by them. Charlize Theron is also in it. I'm not going to see it in the theater, but I'll see it. I've seen all these movies. I'm a sucker for car chases. I love car chase movies. I'm the guy that will still go back and watch the Steve McQueen movie Bullet just for the car chase. It's still the greatest car chase scene in human history. You will never see a better car chase scene than the car chase scene in Bullet.
I've never seen it. Now I'm going to have to watch it.
It just for the car chase. Well, Steve McQueen, for one. Steve McQueen is still the coolest actor that has ever existed. But the car chase scene is so incredibly well done. And with the technology that they had back then and everything, you take all that into consideration and you watch it. Like, if they pulled it off nowadays, it would be impressive. But that they did it then. It's just incredible, incredible. The Matrix Reloaded, the car chase scene they did for that is incredible. It's like in top three, top four. But they made a street for it. Like, I feel like that's cheating.
Right, it is,
a little bit of cheating there. Even though it's kind of cool they made a street for it, I feel like, oh, Bullet, they were like in real time. Like, they're going down the streets and you see real people bopping around and everything. Like, it's incredible. We're going to take a break on that note. Before we do, though, I did want to talk about our original content over the weekends. First up, thank you to this audience. It's important when you're with a new company to represent. We need to show Civic Media that our listenership is strong, that we've got a big listenership out there. It's not for any rhyme or reason other than, hey, new boss. We want to make sure that they know what we're doing around here. People like it and they're good at it. That's why we encourage you to stream us. They pay a lot more attention to streaming numbers than they do anything else. So stream us if you can. I don't care if you have your radio on. Have the streaming on in the background too, everybody.
You might want to turn the volume down on one.
Maybe. Also, supporting our weekend content. Thank you so much for doing that, everybody. And it starts with the Sunshine Polka Show, maybe the greatest show in the world. Tim Hubbell does an amazing job with this show. Every Saturday at 7 in the morning, we encourage you to join Tim in the great lineup he has. He scours the earth looking for a unique polka that only you will hear on the Sunshine Polka Show. You can also catch that show on Sundays at 1 if you miss it.
Which is nice, because I really hope every Saturday morning I'm still sleeping at 7.
Yeah, I get that.
I mean, rarely am I, but I hope I am.
We, of course, have Over the Back Fence every Saturday from 11 to noon. You know, it's our call-in show. You call in with your items that you're looking for, items you want to sell, bring them to Seth. He'll take good care of you.
Advertise your garage sale.
Yes, garage and rummage sales. We know they're going on. Get them to
Seth.
There are
signs everywhere.
Free advertising.
Yes.
Get it to us, everybody. Join Seth and say hi to him every weekend, 11 to noon. Speaking of Seth, on Sundays, Seth Faces Music from 6 to 8 is a great theme every week that Seth puts his focus on and gives you some great content around, along with some great music. And a lot of times music you may have not heard in other places. Be sure to join Seth every Sunday for Seth Faces the Music. And that leads you right into Director's Cut from 8 to 9. We just wrapped up having the Lizards back-to-back episodes. That was a lot of fun. This week, my daughter Bria is going to be on the air with us. We're going to talk about Bria just spoke at a Mid-State Writers Conference, and I want to talk about that with her and talk about some of the new work she's got. And I want to get her take on the writer's strike. I don't know if we're going to be able to land any of the writers that are actually out there because they're right now picketing. I was going to have a couple join us, but we thought it actually might be better if I had a kind of prepared statement from them that I gave because they're on strike. And I support that. I 100% support the writer's strike. I have me, along with many, many other actors, are not auditioning right now. And it may be it matters to see a big name actor not audition, but actors like myself that are turning down auditions, we're struggling artists. We're trying to get our break, and to turn down auditions is not something you do in this industry. I don't care who you are, you don't turn down auditions. Doing it because that's how important this is. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than all of us. This is about writing. This is about the culture of writing, about young people growing up and believing that this can be a career. Do we want to get rid of that? We've already got rid of journalism. We already lost that. We want to get rid of writing. You want ChatGPT writing everything? You don't want that. Trust me. You do not want that. We're going to take a break right here. But again, take in our original content. And you, of course, stream us 24/7 at WFHR.com. And if you miss anything, all of our podcasts, everything's podcasted at civicmedia.us. Come back with more fun on The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. We hope you're having a good one out there, everybody. Wanted to touch on one last thing entertainment-wise before we wrap that part up. We, of course, yesterday were wishing a very happy birthday to George Strait, the King of Country.
King George, yes.
King George, yes. Turned 71 yesterday. He's touring with Chris Stapleton in Little Big Town this summer, just in case anybody wanted to know. I had a listener say, because I mentioned he's still touring yesterday, one of our longtime listeners reached out to me. I ran into them, actually, and said, I don't think George is touring anymore. No, he's touring.
He's going to be at American Family Field, Miller Park, June 3rd.
Yeah.
Because my sister and her husband are going. They'd asked us to go, but that's a potential playoff game for soccer, couldn't commit. But yeah, he's definitely out there.
The site Yardbarker, great name, just posted a list of the 21 essential songs you should have on your George Strait playlist. I'm not going to go through all of them, but I've got some of the bigger ones here. What I thought was interesting was I only knew one or two of them. I don't know George Strait, but I certainly living out here and being around a lot of friends that have George Strait on their playlists and listening to some of his music myself. I didn't know Armadillo by Morning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that one. I got to check that one out. The Chair. I know that one. I Cross My Heart.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's our wedding song.
Oh, really? Aww. Oh, that is cool. That is very cool. Yeah, it's number three on there. You have to have Ace in the Hole.
Yep, good one.
And, of course, All My Exes Live in Texas. Those are the top four that they had here.
How does that go for you? Which state?
Which state would have the most? Illinois, probably. Illinois. Maybe Wisconsin, but yeah, probably Illinois.
Sorry, sidetracked.
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. Great question. I wanted to see. I wanted to check out this.
So Amarillo by Morning is good.
I got to check that
one
out.
Yeah, it's an awesome song.
Yeah, this isn't sending me to the site, though. This is sending me somewhere else.
Oh, somewhere else.
The link's not working. I don't know.
No.
Well, I'm sure that the rest of the list is wonderful. Trying to see. No, this is just his tour. Yeah. Yeah. He's George Strait is playing 6 major stadium shows in 23. So, yeah, he's still doing his thing.
Oh, yeah.
He is going to be in Phoenix, Seattle, Denver, Milwaukee, Nashville, and Tampa. So, yeah, as you said, Terry. Nice. Done. Well, we'll go ahead. You know what? Let's get one more in here. I wanted to touch on this one. Are you a multiple sneezer?
Is it everyone?
I thought so. I thought at least there was more than not. I'm sorry. I have never sneezed once. I always sneeze twice. I thought it was just like there weren't many of us. I think there's
a lot of multiple sneezers. I can't say. I think I'm usually maybe one, but sometimes I don't know. Sometimes multiple.
You are not wrong about this.
I don't sneeze that much.
The polling site YouGov just did a nationwide poll for more than 5,000 people, and it turns out most of us are multiple sneezers. Now, I find it interesting.
Does it matter?
And I don't think it matters at all. No, I just think it's just random information.
I'm just wondering what it means.
Yeah, I don't know. I do find it interesting. You're not a sneezer, though. That is,
I mean, I sneeze, but I don't, like, so I don't, I'm very fortunate. Like, I don't really suffer from seasonal allergies or, yeah, you know, like that kind of thing. So I just, in.
Are you the quiet sneezer or that everybody in the world has to hear my sneeze?
I'm quiet, but I don't stop them. You know what I mean? How you've heard those people where they're like, where they like try to snap a sneeze and then they're like, and it's like, what was the point of that? You might as well just sneeze.
I had a friend who, when they sneeze, sound like Goofy falling. That, yahoo! Like that.
I might have someone I live with who thinks that the whole world needs to know that they sneeze, and it drives me crazy. I'm like, that is not necessary.
Mm. Only 26% said that they usually sneeze just once. Double sneezing was the most common answer at 38%. So, yeah, you were right about this. Some of us don't stop there, though. 22% said that they usually sneeze three times.
Oh, a triple sneeze.
Three said four, and 4% said that they sneeze five times or more.
And 46% said, I don't know.
Yes, exactly. Jeez, what are we doing? It also asked people what they do if they don't have a tissue to sneeze into. And the top tactic by far now is to sneeze into your elbow.
Sleeve.
The vampire. You do the vampire. You put your nose in your elbow. 43% said elbow. 27% said sneeze into their hands. And 15%, or around 1 in 7, said they just let loose and sneeze straight into the air.
You know, don't you think when we were kids, though, it was much more common, like you put your hands over.
Yeah.
And now, you know, but I don't know. I'm sure it was before my kids were little. But when my kids were little, you know, they were taught, like, when you cough, or we were taught cover your cough. But they've been using elbow for a long, you know, to not contaminate the hands kind of thing. So
I can't remember what it was, but there was a logo or there was a picture or something of a little kid sneezing into his hands. And I wonder if that was part of the reason why we all did that. Also, we all saw the kids doing it, too. If you have to sneeze but can't, here's one strategy. 28% said staring at a bright light can make them sneeze. 15% of us have never tried it. I've never really had that issue, but I have had plenty of times where I know a sneeze is coming and I've got to go on the air and I got to jump on. That's why it's great to have these mics. I had a run in GLX where I had a 6-hour shift, and I had the hiccups and sneezing during that whole shift. Wow. Audience didn't hear a word
of it.
Lucky
those folks.
What they did hear, though, was that, because I kept turning the mic on and off and everything, and it was just...
So have you ever heard that, and I think it's an old wives' tale, but I don't know for sure, where you're not supposed to stop a sneeze?
Yes, I've heard that before, too.
But I don't remember the why of it.
Yeah, I've heard everything, whether, you know, your brain will fall
die.
Out. You know, yeah, you'll die. Or they threw that stuff at us like crazy. You could tell that our relatives didn't have, like, the internet. They knew we couldn't research this stuff. You make that face, it's going to stay that way. It's going to stay that way. I slap you on the back when you're making that face. It's going to stay
that way. I
still
like saying
that
to people. Like, you know, you better hope your face doesn't stick like that.
So many of those things, as little kids walking around like, oh, God, I don't want my face to stay like that. Take a break. Come back. Have some more fun after Melissa's news right here on Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Hope you're having a good one out there, everybody. Happy Friday. Terry and James here with you, taking you through the show. You were working as a waitress in a cocktail bar when I met you. Like I said earlier, every 80s song was either a love ballad or a sad song. It gets really sad when she starts singing too. Yeah, it's one of those songs. Going to Google Trends right now, they just posted a bunch of stats on what's been being Googled the most for wedding season, as we are getting into wedding season here. And the number one question is quite interesting, and I never really thought of this before, to be honest. The top trending proposal question in the past month is, what knee do you propose on? I never even thought about that.
Oh.
Never crossed my mind. I have proposed to two people in my life. I had to think about it. I, neither one did I ever think of. Well, one of them, I was on a white horse. My ex, her favorite animal in the world, her favorite thing in the world were horses. So I came in on a white horse and proposed.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Where'd you get the horse?
She was friends with these. There's a great family in Kellner that have a bunch of horses,
yeah.
And we'd go over there and ride. It's how I got most of my riding in.
Okay.
It's, when you hear me talk about riding horses, it was usually
That's
over
okay.
there and
All
stuff.
Right.
And,
cool.
Yep. Yeah, we set it up. She didn't see it coming or anything like that.
Awesome.
Yeah, but the first time it was in the right outside Madison University. My ex Mandy was going to school there, and I showed up at like midnight and proposed to her like right out on in front of one of the buildings in right on campus. It was great. It was awesome. It was a fun little moment and stuff.
So, does it matter what knee?
I don't know. I have no idea. I've never even thought about this. It's,
I almost feel like, does it tie to, like, if you're left or right-handed?
I would think so. It's the type of thing women might know, but guys definitely have to Google. So what's the answer? Well, traditionally, you're supposed to be on your left knee. It's not clear why, but maybe because you'd be better set up to present the ring to her left hand.
Oh.
And yes, it goes on her left hand, guys, just in case anybody needed a reminder about that. You're also supposed to hold the box with your left hand and open it with your right.
But what if you're left-handed? Then I think you would
yeah.
open it with your left.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to be clumsy about it.
Well, and she's going to say no. She was going to say yes, but until she saw you doing it with
the wrong
hand.
I was going to say yes, but you're using the wrong hand.
You're using the wrong hand. Sorry, we're breaking up. What that just happened? That would be my luck. you're also supposed to hold the box. Okay, so you're supposed to hold the box with your left hand open with your right. If you don't get all this exactly correct, your proposal will be rejected. No, it's not. No, more than likely, she's not even going to notice. There is enough to think about and enough nerves
yeah.
and tension when it comes to that. I've never met a guy that was casual about it.
And
really.
Both sides of it, because probably, I mean, the difference is the male. In theory, I'm generalizing, but the
yeah.
male has to, you know, have all of that pre-jitter stuff.
Yes.
But I would say the female's just as nervous once she catches on to what's going on. You know, so the attention to whether you're kneeling correctly or not, I don't think is there.
Going back to Seinfeld for a moment, one of my favorite scenes in Seinfeld is George telling Jerry, I'm going to tell her I love her. Are you sure she's going to say it back? Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Are you sure, George? I'm 50% sure. 50% sure. Because if she doesn't say yes, George, that is one big matzo ball sitting there in that conversation. Like, man, you got to know. You got to feel. I got to think you got to be 90% sure she's going to say yes. I know I was. I would not have asked if not. And I don't mean that like I'm a foolish romantic. I more power to you. It's what Terry was saying. I don't like the idea of I propose and she doesn't want this. Like that
yeah.
feels like one of the cringiest things in the world to me. If I know that we're both madly in love, she wants this as much as I do and all that, I got all the confidence in the world. But I don't like the idea of like pushing that on somebody or putting somebody in that position. I was at a baseball game. Sorry to cut you off.
No.
I was at a baseball game and you know, one of those proposals happened and she said no. And you could, it wasn't even in my part of the stadium, and you could see people, like, moving from them.
But don't you suppose, I mean, so was part of that, in theory, strategic? Like, did the person think, if I do it in front of 50,000 people, she won't say no?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, don't you gotta kind of have a feeling?
You gotta.
I mean, if the person, if the other person is on the fence.
Yeah. You gotta have a feeling. The problem is some people don't pay attention to their partners. They're
right.
all in their own
right.
head. They have a lot different vision of what the relationships and what
yeah.
this actually is. Here are a few more wedding season things we've been asking about on Google. The top trending wedding gift we're Googling is ovens. So
what?
We're looking for ovens. We're looking for microwaves and ovens still. Okay, that's interesting.
Who's giving someone an oven for
yeah,
a gift?
I don't know. I don't know. The top wedding dress color we're oddly obsessed with this year is green. Green wedding dresses.
Yeah, I'll stick with the oddly on that.
49 out of 50 states. 49 out of 50 states are Googling bachelorette party more than bachelor party. Wyoming is the only outlier.
Interesting.
The top places we're looking to elope in are Maui and Ireland.
Oh.
That's interesting. That is interesting.
Those are both big.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, And that'd be a big trip.
Very different. Two very different places, but very cool. I think that's pretty interesting. The top wedding vows we're Googling are crude wedding vows. So you might be at some, you know, weird ones. Otherwise, it's traditional Christian vows, traditional vows, and Star Wars vows. I don't know. I'm a huge Star Wars fan, but that ain't right. Yeah, I could feel Terry's eyes roll. Even I wouldn't do that, though. I'm not big on the whole... Like, I don't mind certain theme weddings that, like, that aren't just so centric. But chances are, you do a Star Wars wedding, not everybody in the party is a Star Wars fan. And while it should be about the bride and groom and all that and everything, we all also understand weddings are not just about you. I like the idea of incorporating as much as you can. With a wider theme, you can do that. You know, I've heard of, like, Halloween theme, you know, weddings and things like that. That I don't have a problem with. But something like this is a little more centric, a little more, you know, niche.
I'm a much more traditional wedding person.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't know.
I don't mind either one. I think both have their romanticism. So both have their beauty to them. The top question about getting married is how long do you have to change your name? Huh, that's actually an interesting question. The answer is there's no real deadline for that. It's more of an inconvenience, I would think. More of a thing where
depending how you.
Well, I remember my ex was excited to get her name changed. I remember my mom was excited but nervous because my grandfather had four daughters, and a big thing for her was carrying on the name. So she, like a lot of things with my mom, was very ahead of things on, and she did the hyphening with her name. Now, a lot of people do that, but back when she was doing that, she actually ran through, like, the ringer with the Social Security office and all these things because it was so important to her. But she was very adamant about that. She wanted to be a Maloff, but she wanted to be Pamela Jean Stern Maloff. That was very important. And I respect that. I get that. I don't even have a problem with a lot of the modern couples not wanting to change their last name or something, because it usually has to do with something like that. They want to keep their father's name alive or something. I think that there's something beautifully romantic about it. But I also am a guy. Like, I'll never be in a situation where I have to think about this. I don't want to pretend like I know what I'm talking about. Like, it's got to be pretty weird to me, I would think. And I don't begrudge anybody wanting to keep that last name with also adding the other one. I also don't think there's anything wrong with changing your last name if you want to. You know, there's no wrong answer here. It's all choice.
Yeah.
Taking a break. Coming back with a lot with That Ain't Right story and some good stories of the day for you on The Morning Show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Terry and James here with you on this Friday. We hope you're having a great one out there. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to take you right to the top of the hour with some That Ain't Right stories, some good stories of the day, all coming up. Come on.
You know, this is a good car jamming song or whatever, but this was always a hard song to dance to.
Yeah, yeah. You're right.
Because, like,
that.
Is it slow or is it fast? I mean, it's not slow, but it's not
all
like.
About that. Yeah, you're right.
It's
though.
Awkward.
Yes, it is. It really does still hold up, though.
Oh, absolutely. It plays at weddings and, you know, and stuff like that all the time.
Not a lot of songs from that era hold up. Like, that one still does, though, for some reason.
Sure.
It's just still a fun song. Terry and I are taking you right to the top of the hour. We got some good stuff to get to here, and got a That Ain't Right story coming up for you in a little bit. We'll get to that in a moment, but right now, I think we have I think we could say that this is our feature That Ain't Right story. I think this might be the one we do. I don't know if we have time for another one, but got to get this one in. Can this really be that much better than regular old vanilla or whatever your favorite ice cream is? There is a new world record for the world's most expensive ice cream. $6,696 per scoop.
Oh, come on.
A luxury ice cream brand in Japan called Saletto is selling it. It's a new flavor they came up with called Bayokuya. The ingredients include edible gold leaf, a fancy Parmesan cheese, and rare white truffles grown in Italy that cost $7,000 a pound. It's also got something called Sakeya Kaisu. It's a yeasty paste that's left over when you make rice wine. It apparently adds a fruity taste. They say it took a year and a half to perfect the recipe, and it supposedly tastes great. And they say it's extremely rich. Yeah, no kidding, it's extremely rich. Like, more ways than one.
There is nothing to me that could taste good enough to be that expensive.
Right. I couldn't
there
agree more.
There is nothing.
Could not agree more. And you lost me at the cheese on the ice cream. I don't like cheese on my ice cream. I have no interest in that.
I was thinking about your body being unable to process the gold flakes and that coming out the other end. That's kind of what I was thinking about, honestly.
Well, Goldenschlager, I mean, you know, it does. You know, I drink a lot of Goldenschlager. I'm watching a video of them making this, and it's also missing the fun of ice cream. Ice cream's supposed to be fun, right? Like, this feels like more of a meal. It feels more like, you know, when it comes, I've eaten at a lot of fancy restaurants. I shouldn't say even a lot. I've eaten at a handful of fancy restaurants. And I walk in there like the first time I walked into my grandmother's living room. Like, I can't touch anything. I don't want to sit on the furniture. I'm afraid to, you know, which knife do I use? Which fork do I use? Like, that kind of stuff. If I'm eating ice cream, I don't want to overly. First off, I don't care if I got Bill Gates money. I ain't buying this ice cream.
And no. It's not even presented like ice cream.
No.
I mean, it's more like a very fancy dessert, right? The look of it. But I mean, you're not putting that on a cone.
I don't think I've ever said this before. You're doing ice cream wrong. You're like, that's not how you do ice cream. Ice cream's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be
interesting. Yeah, that is weird.
Yeah, that's a little much for me. I'm not sure about that one. And I guess you could call this possibly a That Ain't Right story if you heard this one and didn't know what it was or whatever. But before you look at hear this video, take a guess at what's snoring, okay? I want everybody to take a guess at what this is. I'm going to play it for you right now. It's pretty low. Can you hear it? Hopefully you can. Well, that little noise, actually, we should say this a little quieter. That noise that you're hearing over there is actually a dog snoring.
Isn't that cute?
But it sounds like an old man. It sounds like an older guy, like my papa or my grandpa or something falling asleep.
But what's funny about it is when he's exhaling, his lips are like blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's great. That's great.
That is sweet. I don't think that's a That Ain't Right story. No. But I, of course, am not sleeping next to this dog.
Well, here's the thing: you looking around and not knowing what it is, and then finding out that it's a dog. I think that'd be kind of funny. But you're right; it isn't a That Ain't Right story. Just a funny one.
That's sweet.
And we got some other local ones that I wanted to touch on real quick, because this weekend we have got some stuff
it
for you
is
to
a
do.
Full weekend in the community.
Really is. There's a plenty to do going on this weekend, and it kicks off tonight. Nicosia High School and Alexander Middle School have their Pops concert tonight at 6:30 at Nicosia High School. Go there, attend this show, support these kids, and have a good time, everybody. It's a fun time, and it's a great place to see a show, great place to see a concert. I got nice acoustics over there in Nicosia at that school. Support the Nicosia High School kids, support the Alexander Middle School kids with their Pop concert tonight at 6:30. Also wanted to, of course, mention the walk-off debt that is going on, starting at the shelter at Riverside Park in Nicosia at 916 Prospect Avenue, my favorite park in the world. Registration begins at 8:30. Walking starts at 9. Suggested donation of $10 per person for participation, if you can. If you can't, that's okay, but we really do appreciate it, because they're inviting people to walk just a few steps or as long as you'd like to raise money to help pay off the food service debt of students in the Nicosia High School District. Nicosia School District. This is sponsored by Grace, a new organization multiple churches combining forces to take care of these things. Their hope is to do this for all schools. They're starting in Nicosia. They want to go around all the schools and do this.
That's cool.
It's a very cool thing that they're doing. I appreciate them so much doing that kind of thing. And the fourth annual Dove's Nest fundraiser happens tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. at beautiful Camelot on the Lake. That is at 298 Leisure Lane in beautiful Rome, Wisconsin. The Alex C. Dove Foundation was established in November of 18. The Dove's Nest is located on Lower Camelot Lake in the town of Rome. It's the first respite retreat of its kind in the Midwest. The purpose is to offer those suffering from a life-threatening illness a free place to rest and relax by the beautiful lake. We've talked about them with about this event since its inception. This is one of the greatest examples of what you can do with tragedy and how you can turn it into something beautiful and help others. A big thank you to the Dove family, to everybody that has helped this organization for the many years that they've been doing this. And let's keep it going, everybody. Let's make sure they got plenty of funds to help out plenty more people. There are music going on from 10 a.m. until 10 at night. There's activities, raffles, face painting, spot game, beanbag tournament, tons of great food. This is a great Wisconsin event. I mean, Bloody Mary Bar, beer, brats, burgers, cheese curds, taco truck. Yes, yes. This is a Wisconsin event.
Yes, yes.
Raffles, all kinds of great stuff. Again, support and help the people, the great people over at Dove's Nest with the fourth annual fundraiser going on tomorrow from 10 to 10 over at Camelot on the Lake. And Terry, I wanted to wrap up talking a little bit of United Way and remind people about some of the things you have going on over there.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got a great book giveaway coming up. That will be June 6th through the 13th. This is a Reading in the Park series where kids come. You bring your kids. Don't just send them on their own. But bring your kids, and they will be read to by a few community volunteers, and then they get to pick out books to take home and keep. This is a completely free event, so we encourage families to come on out and join us for that. We also have United We Can coming up on June 15th, so get your tickets for that rafter game. This is a really cool opportunity. We have 11 food sculptures this year, and then our friends from McMillan Library will be building an impromptu sculpture throughout the day. So we encourage participation in that as well. If you qualify for free and reduced lunch, you also qualify for free school supplies for next school year. Registration for that is open now, and those distribution slots that happen in August are on a first-come, first-served basis. So I do encourage you to visit our website, uwswac.org, and get your students registered for next school year.
Appreciate that, Terry. And you can find out more by going to uwswac.org. Encourage you to do that. Follow the United Way on social media. It's a great follow, great way to keep up on things in the community. And there's always ways to volunteer. We encourage you to reach out to Amy and our friends at 211. Find out about great volunteer opportunities in your community. It's a great way to put back in. I wanted to wrap up with some good stories of the day, but earlier we mentioned during our birthday and anniversary club with Misty's, and a shout out to Misty's. Tomorrow would have been our own Carl Hilke's birthday, and longtime listeners know Carl had a couple of songs that he really loved. I thought that this one was always a perfect show, a song for the morning. So as I'm reading some good stories of the day from around the world, I'm going to go ahead and play Avicii's Wake Me Up. Some NYPD cops saved an emotionally disturbed guy who was about to jump off a Staten Island ferry last week. The boat was in the middle of New York Harbor when he climbed out a window onto the other side of it. Two cops on the boat saw it happen and started trying to talk him down. They also called for backup. The police boats showed up in case he jumped. A cop ended up grabbing him before he could, though, and they got him some help.
That's awesome.
Thank you to those officers. A big shout out to them. That is really incredible.
That is really cool.
An 80-year-old gentleman in Idaho fell 60 feet while hiking this month and got pretty banged up. He broke his ankle and cracked a few vertebrae, but he survived and now recovering after a group of nearby Boy Scouts showed up to save him. That's a fun coincidence. He's actually used to be a Scoutmaster.
That's really cool.
Yeah. I can't imagine.
A little irony there, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. A little bit. I have to think that he had a little bit of a smile about that, too, you know? A new poll found women feel more empowered than they used to. 93% say that they are proud to be a woman, and 77% said that they feel more confident than they did 10 years ago. That benefits all of
That's
us,
good.
Man and woman. That is fantastic. That is nice. And want to be happier? Stop holding on to grudges. A Harvard study found forgiveness leads to lower levels of anxiety and depression. I feel like our moms already knew this and told us this. Like, doesn't that feel like a stat, like something your mother would say to you?
Like, and then when you finally, like, you know, you get to whatever point and you realize it, it's like,
another example
of rightness.
Holding a grudge doesn't actually hurt the person I have the grudge against. It only hurts me. That's right. You know,
and we waste a lot of energy on it, honestly.
Way too much. Another story about a great police officer here. One in Florida delivered a baby on the side of the road on last Sunday, and his chest cam got it all on video. He's been a cop for more than 20 years, and this is his third baby he's delivered. Mom and kid are doing great. She is named Lexia.
Nice. So, though, I will just say, I think that all iterations of that video should be turned over to the mother, because that would be her choice whether that be.
Agreed. Very, very good point. A woman in Australia used a set of lottery numbers that came to her in a dream and won $67,000.
No way!
That's crazy. That is crazy. Wanted to get this one into a haunted house called Fear Factory just paid off the lunch balance at two schools in Salt Lake City. Their CEO's grandkids told him some of their friends couldn't eat school lunch because their balances were unpaid. So he says it broke his heart. So he decided to do something about it. We've got a lot of local organizations that have
doing
done similar
like
things
yeah.
this year and stuff. And more of that's happening. We're seeing. And finally, firefighters in New Hampshire saved a dog that got her head stuck in a tree the other day. She was chasing after something that shoved her head through a hole in the trunk and shoved her hood in the hole in the trunk. They used hand tools to cut her out and got her safe.
But, you know, isn't that cute? Because we've all known that dog, whether it's your own or someone else's, but that will not end the chase.
Yes.
Will not stop, no matter what.
Oh, my poor fur brother. Yes, yes, yes.
Perseverance.
You never know. You never know. I want to send a big shout out to Terry. Thank you so much for putting up with me as you always do and hanging out with us. Great show today.
Great to be here.
Have a good weekend, Terry. Everybody out there, enjoy yourselves. Have a great weekend.